Coors Light. Grab an ice-cold Coors Light and a designated driver this game day. And remember that 21 means 21. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Powered by Ford Trucks. Built Ford tough. Also brought to you by Bank of Colorado. There's only one. By UC Health. And by First Bank. Now live. The Coors Light Mike Bobo Coaches Show. Here is your host, Brian Roth.
All right, a very good evening, and we welcome you back into CBN Pods. We're in Fort Collins, as we are each and every Wednesday night, bringing you the Coors Light Mike Bobo Coaches Show, and another joyous occasion here in Fort Collins as Colorado State goes to 2-0 in conference play with another dominating performance. The latest victim was the Aggies of Utah State. Brian Roth with you. Happy to be joined by the head football coach at Colorado State. Mike, just in the nick of time, great to have you. And hey, congratulations on another well-played conference game.
Thank you, Brian. Really proud of the guys, the coaches and the players the last 2 weeks, the focus that our guys have had, really the last month. Been on the road for a month and stayed focused, stayed committed to each other and believing in what we were doing, and have had two really good road victories, and then preparing, trying to get three in a row.
Yeah, you get the two road games to start off in conference play. And the last time that Colorado State has won their first two Mountain West Conference road games, 2002. You have to go back 15 years since that was done. And the last time the Rams started off 2-0 in conference play, 2005. So you're doing a lot of stuff that hasn't been done here at Colorado State in a while. But it's not that you're just getting those wins, Mike. I mean, anybody that's watched these games or listened to them on the radio, they know that you guys have been dominant in these games. And I know you always express that to your team. Let's come out, let's be dominant. And you've done that the past 2 weeks.
Well, I think one of the reasons that we played well early in both games is our focus during the week at practice. You know, we practiced like we wanted to come out and dominate our opponent. Our preparation has been there. And that's, again, that's a credit to our coaches and our players of understanding the plan and going out ready to play at the start of the game. Now, you know, everything has went our way at the start of those games. Sometimes you can have great focus and prepare great, and sometimes the ball doesn't bounce your way, or they come out and do something a little bit different, and things just don't click like you want to. But that's why you play 60 minutes. You know, and we got to be ready for when that happens, when things don't come out and start the way we want, or we go down 14, or we turn the ball over. God forbid something happens like that. You know, we got to be mature enough to handle those situations too. But I do think our non-conference of, you know, playing those teams and that tough schedule is going to help us in this conference schedule handle some adversity, because we're going to hit adversity.
Right. Yeah. Well, you guys have gotten out of some good starts here the last 2 weeks, where the adversity, when it's come in the last 2 weeks, you've had a cushion when that adversity has come. I asked you last week, I don't know if I've seen a better first quarter out of the Ram football team in quite some time than at Hawaii. You guys came out and almost duplicated that performance against Utah State. How close to that was perfect?
I thought that one was closer to
the Hawaii game.
Hawaii was great, you know, going on the road and playing the way we did, but going to Logan, Utah, and starting the game like that, and you know, really putting them on their heels, getting them out of their game plan. You know, and I've only been there once before, but when you look back at the history and the tradition of playing at Utah State, that's a tough place to go get a win. You know, I don't know what our record is in that stadium, history of that series, but I know they're like 30 out of their last 37. They had won at home. I mean, they're a very good football team at home, and to come play like we did and get that victory, really proud of our guys.
Yeah, there's no question. That's a Utah State team that always plays well there in Logan, but the Rams were able to take him out of the game early. You know, you've coached enough games where you've been on the sideline where your team has kind of gotten blitzed early in a contest. What does that do to an opponent? What you guys have done the last 2 weeks, what does that do to an opponent?
Well, a lot of times it gets you out of your game plan. It causes you not to be patient. You know, as an offensive play caller, sometimes when you get down, you know, 14 or sometimes 20 points, you want to change your game plan. And really, you got to realize it's still in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got three more quarters to play, and you need to stay patient. It's not a time to panic, and a lot of times you panic. I've been there before. where you've gotten down and you panic and try to do a little bit too much, and then now a three-score game goes to, you know, totally out of hand and you can't come back. So you just got to get – you got to stay patient. You got to get your guys continue to just play, you know, one snap at a time. You know, you can't get it back all right now. Let's just try to get a little momentum. And really, you're telling yourself that, and you're telling your players just to keep playing.
Right, absolutely. I'm sure that's what the coaching staffs over at Hawaii and Utah State have been saying the last 2 weeks. So Colorado State goes to 4-2 on the year. They're 2-0 in conference play, and hey, we finally get a home game. Who's ready for a home game? First time in 5 weeks, Colorado State's going to be back home at It's apropos, it is homecoming, the Wolfpack of Nevada in town. All right, we'll take our first timeout of the night. We'll be back after this. More to come here from CBN Potts in Fort Collins on the Colorado State Sports Network. Welcome back to CBN Potts here in Fort Collins, the Coors Light Mike Bobo Coaches Show here in the Colorado State Sports Network. Tonight's show brought to you by Bank of Colorado. CSU is more than just a school, and the Rams are more than just our team. Colorado is more than just our state. It's our state of mind, Bank of Colorado. There is only one. Brian Roth back with the head football coach at Colorado State. Mike Bobo, if you do have a question, you can, as always, hit us up on Twitter or our radio network handle at CSU Rams Radio. And if you have a question or comment for the coach, certainly send us a tweet. You can also use the hashtag Rams Radio, already getting a couple in on that. Colorado State coming off a 27-14 victory over Utah State. Back-to-back road games to open up conference play for the Rams. Sitting at 4-2 and sitting at 2-0 in Mountain West Conference play, getting set for Nevada on Saturday night. Continuing to look at the Utah State game, you know, as well as your offense has played, and to put up 24 points in the first really 20 minutes of the game. How good was your defense on Saturday, Mike? That's as dominating as a performance as I've seen in the last year.
Really proud of our defense, how they played in that game. And, you know, we really started playing some good defense last year in the second half, right, against Utah State and against this team. And then we came out and really continued that. We were dialed up with our play calls and our concepts. We talked about affecting the quarterback in last week's radio show, and to have 7 sacks. It really got him out of his rhythm. You know, he was not comfortable all game. And it was not just a pass rush, but early in the game they were trying some receiver screens and quick passes. And we were having tackles for loss, and they really got nothing going in their no huddle. And then they had to hold the ball and try to throw the ball downfield a little bit more. And then we started able to get pressure. But, you know, set the offense up, you know, every drive in the first half, really good field position. Basically a shutout in the first half because the block punt was the 7 points.
Right. Just,
and then continued to play well in the second half when offense kind of sputtered on some drives and didn't finish some drives, missed the field goal. Defense was not going to allow them in the end zone.
You mentioned last week on the show you wanted more of a pass rush. You said it to the media all week last week. Yeah. You obviously were telling your team that. Was that some big fire and brimstone speech? I mean, how did you get the team to respond like that from 8 sacks through the first 5 games? 7 sacks in game 6.
Well, I mean, I think we've been doing a decent job, you know, playing defense and playing with effort. And sometimes getting to the quarterback is not just those front four rushing. It's playing a little bit tighter coverage. It's a little bit more effort and a little bit more strain. And I thought we had that Saturday. And, you know, we knew we had to affect this quarterback. Their quarterback is the key to the offense. And we really affected him early and took him out of his game. And just proud of the guys. It's just something. I mean, just trying to state the facts. We our players, you know, and we want to win a championship and play like a championship football team. And, you know, quite frankly, if we're not able to get pressure on the quarterback, we're not a championship football team. And I said that to them and said it to the media, and they responded this week. But, you know, it's like I told them the day after today's practice, just what we did last week is not going to result in the success this week. You got to do the same things, and you got to have the same focus. And, you know, that's part of growing up. That's part of maturing into what you want to be as a football team. And, you know, we're getting closer to that. We got 6 more conference games. We're going to have a lot of tests. We got one this Saturday. And, you know, we got to continue to grow up and continue to answer the bell week in and week out.
You know, I think one of the exciting things for Ram fans seeing that pass rush last week, I saw a lot of guys winning one-on-one battles, but some young guys winning battles and getting in the backfield. I mean, you talk about a true freshman in Emmanuel Jones. I mean, physically, he doesn't look like a freshman. And then a kid in R.J. Jean who played as a true freshman last year, and now you guys have moved him to defensive end here this year.
Yeah, those guys did a great job. R.J. played outstanding in this game. He was our player of the game on defense. He had we keep up with production points. He had the most production points out of anybody on defense, and it wasn't just the sacks. It was his effort. He had a couple hustle plays that got pointed out to the team. His effort's been outstanding. And here's a guy that moved from outside backer to defensive end. And our defensive ends are in a 3-4. Sometimes you're playing, you know, over guards and tackles. They're not necessarily a wide guy that just rushes the passer. He's had to become a little more physical, a little more tougher mentally. He's done that. He's worked well with Coach Logo and improved his game every week and had an opportunity to start and make more plays this week, and he took advantage of that opportunity.
You know, for young kids to come off games like that, Mike, I mean, I imagine their confidence goes up. Now, they, obviously, as you just mentioned, you got to keep working. You haven't, as you've used so many terms, the term arrived. I mean,
right.
You haven't arrived, but I imagine that gives them confidence
that. You know, anytime you have success, you know, it's going to give you confidence that you can go out and you can perform on the field and at a high level and contribute for your team. I'm always talking to our coaches and our players, you know, getting guys on special teams and getting them out there and getting them experience where they're successful. That gives them confidence. That gives them confidence to go out there and hopefully play some scrimmage plays. You know, but what I keep trying to point out to our coaches and our players is that the reason that they had that success is because of the work and the preparation, you getting them ready as a coach, and then that player taking that coaching and working hard to prove he deserved that opportunity on Saturday. That's RJ got that opportunity because of the work he put in and the improvement he made, and then he got the results on Saturday. So he's got to continue to do that, his coach and him, day in and day out.
Yeah, and I guess when you look at the pass rush, 7 sacks and the pressures and the tackles for losses and the incompletion, I mean, you can't forget about the secondary, who I thought played well. And it's a secondary that played virtually the entire game without really one of their starters in Jamal Hicks.
Yeah, exactly. Jamal went out early with the targeting, and really proud of our secondary. I thought we were a little lax in coverage in the Hawaii game late in the, you know, in the second half when we had the big lead. But a lot of it was our calls, not wanting to get beat deep, which is understandable. And we gave up some yards, which is a little bit disappointing for our coaches and our players. And this week was, you know, get pressure on the quarterback and effective, but challenge the receivers. Let's get up in their face. Let's challenge them. Let's be physical. Let's don't back down. And our guys did that play after play. I think Anthony Hawkins is improving week after week. He's challenging those guys. He was in their face. He was playing bump coverage, press man, made some nice pass breakups. And those guys did a nice job. Jordan Fogle was making tackles at the line of scrimmage from his safety position. Justin Sweet played extremely well. It was a little bit under the weather. You know, Sean Johnson got to come in and play, and Slager did a nice job. So, really proud of those guys for they continue to play and they continue to get a little bit better each week.
Yeah, but the defense has been terrific, and boy, were they good on Saturday. A couple final thoughts. We'll move on to the Nevada game in a moment, but you know, offensively, you guys go 24 points with about 8 minutes to go in the second quarter, and then you kind of went run heavy towards the rest of the game. And listen, I get it. I mean, the wind, an opportunistic defense. And your run game was good. You guys ran for 216 yards in the game. The only place you didn't see it show up, I guess, is the scoreboard.
Yeah, you know, the first quarter we had to win, and we wanted to take advantage of that and, you know, put the ball in the air, and we did. And you know, when you put the ball in the air, you got to complete passes. And Nick was very efficient to a lot of different receivers. We executed at a high level. And then in the second quarter, we were still doing a little bit of it, but had a 24-0 lead, and we didn't convert a third down, which happens. I think we had a lost yardage play on first or second down, had a third and long. Then we get a punt blocked, you know, and it's 24-7, you know, and then there in the second quarter, let's see if we can grind some stuff out and run some clock and limit their time. Really, it's not necessarily us going, you know, into the win. Sometimes it's limit their opportunities to having the win.
With the win, right?
With the win.
Which they had in the third quarter.
Which they, you know, they had the choice.
And,
you know, it's 24-7. They had the choice. They want that win in the third or the fourth. They took it in the third. Mm-hmm. And so that's saying, hey, we're going to try to maximize this right now and get back in the game. And in the third quarter, you know, we come out and get the ball first and get a third and one, and we don't execute on a third and one. You know, and it's... That's our fault offensively, not being able to execute that third and one. But then we had, you know, backed up at the four, and we were able to flip field position and backed up at the 10 and went all the way down for a field goal attempt, in which unfortunately we missed, but we were able to burn some time. And then in the fourth quarter, 24-7, and, you know, you want clock to run. And then you know, Nick got banged up in the first quarter on his knee, and it was one of those things where we can score running the ball too.
Right.
I mean, there's no law against just because you don't throw it every down that you can't score. And we didn't execute in some clutch situations on third downs, you know, which forced us not able to finish drives.
You know, and you had mentioned something on Monday in the press conference with all the media members that, you know, you guys are a little thin on offense too, and slowing it down a little bit, making the game go faster, it kind of rests you guys a little bit, and you don't have a bunch of guys in there and running 80 plays like maybe right. You normally would in the regular game.
Right. And, you know, there's one thing, you can go fast or you can kind of slow it down, and we decided to slow it down. And, you know, because if you go fast and go three and out, that's going to give the other team more opportunities. Now, just because you don't go fast and up-tempo, you know, doesn't mean that you shouldn't be able to execute. You know, that's the point to our, you know, I was ecstatic that we played well, went on the road, and won. You know, but our message to our offensive football team was, yes, we had yards, and yes, you know, we had our yards and all. So that's not our standard, you know. Doesn't matter what we call, we got to be able to finish drives, we got to be able to execute. Now, the positive was we never turned the ball over. Yep. You know, there's nothing wrong with punting, you know, except when it gets blocked. But, you know, you always want to reserve the right to punt, make them go the long way on the other. I mean, that's football. You know, don't give the game away by being, you know, stupid sometimes. And, you know, we have to execute in situations. We have to execute in the red zone and third downs. We had an opportunity to score there. A field goal we missed, and we had an opportunity for a touchdown. You get those two, then it's looking at 35 points instead of 27.
Right, yeah, no question about that. And again, you get in the second half of that game, and you think to yourself, and we mentioned on the broadcast, there's a couple of ways you can lose it, by extending the game and giving them more possessions, or by turning it over against the number one ranked team in the entire nation. I mean, that's how you lose a game real fast, and you guys certainly weren't going to let that happen and did not.
Trust me, I love to score points.
I know.
I want to score. I hate it when we have to punt or we don't score. So the plan is to score, you know, every time we get the ball. You know, but at the same time, you know, the object is to win the football game.
Yes.
You know, the object is to win the football game, and that's what we were able to do.
You know, Mike, I mean, up there in the booth, I'm sure Ram fans here were feeling it too. You guys were so good early in that game when Ryan Stonehouse came in that second quarter. I mean, it felt like, as if just from a fan's point of view, like such a letdown. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
CSU has to punt? Wait a minute, what is this?
Yeah.
But well, that's a credit to you and your offensive staff and players.
Right. And, you know, we spoil some people sometimes when we run up down the field, and then sometimes we overreact as coaches.
Right.
You know, and when things don't go well, you know, we overreact because we're so used to executing and moving the ball down the field and scoring touchdowns. And then we have a tendency to do this as coaches sometimes on offense when we go berserk. You know, when sometimes we got to give the other team some credit that they stop you.
Well, it's better to be spoiled scoring a lot of points than the opposite side. At Hawaii, if you remember early in the second quarter when the Rainbow Warriors picked up their first down of the game, everybody came up to their feet and started clapping in a sense of, hey, it's about time. So
I've been there too. Okay? I mean, it can happen. I mean, it's football. I mean,
yes.
You know, we're not. You know, playing Madden, you know, and,
right.
and got the perfect call and work. I mean, it's you got 11 guys out there, got to execute. You got 11 guys on the other side. They're going to make plays, you know, at times, and everything doesn't go according to plan. And you just got to continue to play, and you got to continue to coach.
Yeah, well, and you mentioned to me on Monday, I said, boy, you guys made it look so easy. In that first quarter, you got open guys, and the way you schemed against them, and you looked at me and you said, it's not.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work goes into that, though.
I mean,
to be able to get the type of matchups and the open receivers that you guys have, I mean,
well, it's a credit to our coaching staff and our players.
Right.
I mean, the way our guy players play early in the game is, you know, it shows they understood the plan. And if they're playing that way, usually we got what we prepared for. And sometimes you don't get what you prepared for because teams change and you got to make adjustments. But we got what we prepared for, and both sides of the ball executed, which was I was very pleased to see. Now, our special teams, you know, we dropped punts against Hawaii. We got lucky. We fell on those, and then we get a blocked punt this past week.
Right.
And we're working hard on special teams this week like we do every week, but we got to clean that up or it's going to cost us a game. I mean, usually when you get a punt block, you're going to lose a ball game. We've had two blocked now. and able to overcome it.
Right, and also the onside kick.
Yeah, the onside kick too. They're not good right now.
Right. Certainly something to work on, but it's a lot more fun and easier to work on when you're 2-0 in conference play and you're winning games.
That's right.
All right, Rams again 4-2 in the season. Another dominating performance and a victory on the road at Utah State, and they'll return homecoming game against Nevada on Saturday night. We'll take another time out. More to come here from CBN Potts in Fort Collins. It's the Coors Light Mike Bobo Coaches Show on the Colorado State Sports with the Coors Light Mike Bobo Coaches Show. Is we talk some Colorado State Ram football about the midway point of the show and shift our attention to the homecoming game coming up against the Wolfpack of Nevada on Saturday night. Tonight's show brought to you by Root Sports. Fans, hey, don't forget you can find Coach Bobo and Hilbert on the Rams Report every Thursday night at 6:30 on Root Sports. Of course, now AT&T Rocky Mountain Show complete with player interviews, recaps, and game previews. All right, let's hit up the Twitter here, folks getting in, and this one from Dave. In fact, Dave with us here tonight. He was asking about Deonte Clyburn, and Ram fans certainly miss seeing number 12 on the field. Deonte obviously had that medical condition last year. It popped up again this year. What's his status, and what's his role with the team right now?
Deonte is, he's part teammate, part coach for our football team. He's at every meeting. He's at every practice. He's still part of the family. You know, he's not cleared to play, and it's a tough situation for him. It's a tough situation for us, and we're just trying to be there for him. He's an amazing young man that's been through a lot. I can't imagine really, the emotions that he has when he finally gets back, and then, he finds out he's got another blood clot and he cannot play.
Yeah.
Because he was so excited that he got cleared, and then to have, football taken away from him, it was devastating for him. But we're there for him, and really he's there for us more than anything, because he's such a great kid and loves Colorado State, and he helps Coach English in the meeting rooms and on game day, and he's just there for support and encouragement that, behind his football team.
Yeah, and he's a guy that's interested in broadcasting. I was telling Paul Kirk, if he wasn't so involved with you guys, I'd get him up to the radio booth to put a headset on him.
That's something he wants to do. I know he was involved in the grind last year, mm-hmm. Helping produce that, and was the narrator a little bit. He's interviewed me a couple times for his classes. He's pretty good at it. He's very knowledgeable about sports and especially football. He's a guy that's going to be successful in whatever he wants to do.
All right, that'll lead us into the injury report presented by UC Health, with more clinical trials and advanced treatments than any other health system in the region. The game changers in medicine are at UC Health. All right, Mike, how'd you guys come out of the Utah State game, and where do we stand against Nevada?
Well, we're pretty healthy. We're a little bit banged up like everybody, but at receiver, we're healthy except for Trey Smith, who played a little bit of special teams, but he's still out right now. We've got some guys with some groins and some ankles, but they'll be able to go. Offensive line, we're almost 100% of guys back. They're not 100%, but Colby Meeks was able to play. Ben Knox was able to play, so they're getting closer to 100%. Tight end Dalton Fackel right now is questionable with a concussion. He's been out, or head contact related injury. I don't know. The trainers make those decisions. He's been held the first 2 days of non-contact. So we'll as we get closer to game time, we'll see if he's able to go. At running back, we're pretty healthy. Izzy's got a little bit of a knee, but he's probable. Defensively, Kyle Robinson will be back. For us defensively, and then I think we're pretty healthy defensively. Josh Watson got some stitches in his lip. His lip got busted during the game.
His entire jersey was just completely red and bloody.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a physical bloody game this past week. But, overall we're pretty healthy. Hawkins got a stinger in the game, but he's back practicing. He was full go today. So other than the minor bumps and bruises, Dalton Fackel is the main one.
And he's played so well for him. You guys have used him really well.
So that's a big concern for us right now, because Panunzio's already out, Isaiah Panunzio. And then if Dalton's out, now you've just got a true freshman, Cam Butler, and then you've got a converted wide receiver, Johnny Freesmith. So a little bit of concern for us at tight end right now.
Yeah, and you'd mentioned, too, on Monday that Toby McBride continues
to be out. Yeah, Toby's still out.
But back issues, which are scary, aren't they? Because you just don't know.
He's going to be out for a while.
Is he?
Yes.
Yeah, that's too bad. And, we got hit up on Twitter last week about your boom comment. I'm not going to ask you about it, but I think I understood what the boom comment was. late last week. So congratulations to the Rams on that. That's all we'll say on that one. All right, let's go back to Twitter. And this is from Joe. Joe's one of the great Ram fans. All right, I'm gonna do his first question. Who drinks more Diet Coke, Coach Eustace, Coach Bobo, or Coach Friend?
Coach Friend doesn't really drink.
He doesn't? Okay.
He drinks some.
I think Larry Eustace set the world record for Diet Coke. Do you drink a lot of Diet Coke?
I do drink a lot. I'm in the Cherry Coke Zero.
Coke Zero, okay.
Yeah, or Cherry Coke Zero. I'm kind of whatever they bring me. between Diet Coke, Coke Zero, Advocare Spark, even had two cups of coffee today. I mean, I drink a lot of caffeine.
That's right.
During the day.
During the day. And you guys put in
I start off every morning after my coffee or Spark that I'm going to drink water today. You know, I got my water jug. I filled up a water jug today.
Uh-huh.
Set it right. You know, it was full tonight when I left when I was watching. I mean, I have good intentions every day.
We need to get a graduate assistant on that. Somebody to be right there saying, hey, coach, let's go.
Yeah, I know. Every day I try. I did good for breakfast and lunch, and then we came in tonight off the field, and there were some Chinese there with chicken fried rice, and I ate some of that.
It's hard.
It is hard.
It's hard. All right, now Joe's real question. He said you guys have played really well coming off that bye week in the Alabama game. Do you sense your team has more confidence following that Alabama game?
Probably so. Anytime you play a team like Alabama and you have a little bit of success, I'm sure they took some confidence. And then Alabama played so well the weeks after. You know, sometimes you try to, you know, we all do it, fans especially. They look at scores and say, hey, we're better than this team because the score was this way, which that's really not true.
Yeah, it's hard to compare scores, right.
But people want to compare scores and say they're better based on a score. Bottom line, it's a win-loss business, and we lost that ball game, but we probably gained a little bit of confidence. I wish we would play with that confidence when we went in there, because I tried to tell them we do belong. You know, all we got to do is go play. You know, and sometimes a team like Alabama beats you before you even get there because they're Alabama.
Right.
And we're trying to get to the point where, you know, we're not gaining confidence off of anybody. We should walk in the building and expect to win the ball game because of what we've done week in and week out.
Yep, no, absolutely. And it's a Ram football team, though. It's a good question, Joey. They have been playing really, really well. All right, one more Twitter question, and it's from Eric. How excited are the players to be back home? We talked a little bit about it Monday. I mean, 5 weeks since the last home game.
Yeah, I feel like we're excited. You know, we haven't played since the Abilene Christian game. It's homecoming. It's a night game. It's national televised on ESPN. We're going to sell out. You know, it's something to be excited for that you get another opportunity to play football. We all know what we're playing for. We're playing for a chance to represent our side in the conference championship, so every game's important. Our fans are excited, for this football team, for this university right now. And we got to go out there, and just like the first week, we have a big responsibility to go out there and play well. And we can't take that lightly. I'm sitting here watching this South Alabama Troy game. South Alabama's 1-4. Troy's 4-1. They beat the mighty LSU Tigers, and
right.
I'm sure they're heavily favored at home. And you know, now they're behind 9-0. Now that's not the final, you know, but anything can happen in any week. You know, going into halftime, they're going to be down 9-0, and you know, we got to be ready to play. And that was my message to the team today: is we can't go through the motions. We can't just walk out there and throw our helmets out there because we're Colorado State. You know, or because we played Alabama and scored X number of points on them, that doesn't mean nothing. We got to get ready to go. Nevada's got some confidence. They won last week. They got a pretty good defense, some defense. We better be ready to play this weekend, and we better be excited to play, you know, for those 40,000-plus people that are coming to see their football team.
Yeah, and all you really have to do is watch college football on a weekly basis, look at scores. And big underdogs win every single week. It was Iowa State.
But
we seem
to forget about that. You know, when it comes, you know, we think just, you know, oh, we should just, you know, roll out and, you know, beat everybody by a big number every week. And, you know, if you don't score 50 every week, you know, the bottom line is you better go out there and you better play your hearts out for 60 minutes, because you never know. If you're not ready for a 60-minute fight every week, you're going to get beat. Sometimes things go the way you want and you end up scoring 50 and the other team scores 21. You know, but most of the time it's going to be a dogfight for 60 minutes, and you got to be ready to play. And you got to have that focus. And if you get out of there with a win, you're going to say, thank you. you're going to celebrate for a second, then you're going to try to correct and improve, go to the next week. You know, it's you know, that's our goal this week, is to go 1-0 this week against a Nevada team, and we better be ready to play, because it's going to be a tough challenge at night against a good football team.
3 days into the preparation, really four if you count Sunday, but you've been preaching that to your team. Do you get a sense if that message is getting through? Because I know you weren't necessarily happy with practice today.
Well, I know what we have, what we're capable of as a football team, and I don't want to waste any moment to get better. And sometimes I feel like if you go through the motions, and I didn't have a chance, I watched a little bit of the film. Sometimes I overreact, I'll admit it. I overreact a little bit.
You had the newspaper writer scared this afternoon.
Yeah, sometimes I overreact and about what I see, and I hadn't had a chance to watch all the film, and it's probably not as bad as I thought it was at practice. But, you know, it was just, one, I walk outside, it was just beautiful. And if we're not excited to jumping around and with a lot of energy, you know, to go out there and compete at practice, I know it's not a game, but, you know, the true great players and great teams, they relish the chance to go out there and compete. And that's what we do on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And I did not see that competitive fire, you know, that I wanted to see. And I made that known to our team and talked to some of them after practice. And we'll see how we respond Thursday and Friday.
All right, we'll get more into the Wolfpack of Nevada, the opponent coming up on Saturday night. When we come back, a couple more segments left. Stay with us here on the Colorado State Sports Network. We bring you back to CBN Potts. We're in Fort Collins tonight for the Coors Light Mike Bobo Coaches Show. Brian Roth back with you. Dave fans, don't forget that Potts is your game day headquarters for all away televised games. And watch parties are at Potts in Westminster on 120th Avenue or Potts in the Tech Center on Greenwood Plaza Boulevard against CBN Potts, proud sponsor of Colorado State Athletics. All right, so the Nevada Wolfpack coming into town on Saturday night, as Mike mentioned, a chance for the Rams to showcase themselves on ESPN2, an 8:21 tip-off, and the game is sold out, and that place is going to be rocking. First ever night game at the new on-campus stadium. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about homecoming, and you know, as a college football coach, you said you guys have one job at homecoming, and that's to go win the football game to make everybody else's homecoming that much more fun.
That's our job. Homecoming week is an exciting time for everybody to come back to campus and talk about or reminisce, you know, all about the great times when they were on campus or when they went to school here. And you know, they're going to have a good time regardless, but, we could turn it into a bad weekend if we don't play well, or we could turn it into a great weekend if we do our jobs and play well on Saturday night.
Yep. This is a Nevada team that had by far their best game of the season last week, a 35-21 win against Hawaii. And offensively speaking, boy, they were really balanced last week. And it looks like, Mike, they've settled on a quarterback. They've had some issues at quarterback. But what have you seen from that Ram or that Wolfpack offense?
Well, they're new. They got new coaches, a brand new coach,
right. New staff,
new staff, offense and defensively, and it's Hal Mummy's son, this offensive coordinator, Matt Mummy, and they run a spread system and a lot of passing game and a lot of try to be balanced in the spread run game, and they went through some injuries at quarterback. I believe this is the third quarterback that's played for them.
Yes,
and he started two games in a row now. I believe that's right. And you start to see them trying to come together as an offensive football team on the same page. And that stuff takes time. And the thing that I see from this football team, when you turn on the tape, from the first game where they played Northwestern, a Big Ten team, which they had a chance to win that ball game in the fourth quarter, to last week versus Hawaii, they've gotten better every week. And their play they play extremely hard. And that's a credit to those coaches and those players that they're continuing to play hard. That shows they believe in what coach is talking about. They're going out every week and playing as hard as they can, and they're going to improve, and that's what I see happening to this football team.
Well, you look at the game against Hawaii last week, too. They busted off a lot of big plays in that game, and as well as your defense has played, he's early in the season, giving up big plays was one of the sticking points.
Right, yeah, and that's they do a good job on offense. They've got two really good receivers. They've got a left tackle that's as good as anybody in this conference, probably in the country, their left tackle. And you know, a quarterback that's gaining some confidence. So we've got to do a good job of making them work for it, not giving up the explosive play. If we give up a big play, we've got to get him on the ground and make them snap it again. That's the key to playing defense. If you're going to give up some yards and give up some big plays, but get him on the ground, make them snap it again. We've done a pretty good job when we've gotten teams in the red or been in the red zone of holding them to field goals or getting a turnover. We got to continue to do that this week.
Yeah, your red zone defense has been terrific. Only 63% scoring rate. That's not touchdown, right? That's scoring rate of teams in the red zone against your D.
Yeah, and I think people have been in the red zone only 8 times.
Yep.
Against us, and we've done a nice job. Now, you know, they've scored on us some other ways by some explosive big plays like you were talking about that happened early in the season, and we've done a better job of limiting those. And then, you know, we did a great job last 2 weeks on third down, you know, an area we needed to improve on. And then if we could keep playing well in the red zone and holding teams to field goals or nothing, then we got a chance to be a good defense. We're going to give up some yards here and there, but the possession downs are one thing that I talked about going into this season. That's third downs. And then playing situational football in the red zone, and then create turnovers. That's one thing. If you had to ask Coach English, you know, the last 2 weeks, what he's, you know, if there's one thing, it's, you know, we got to create more turnovers. And like him, we both talked about it on Sunday. I said, Coach, we're playing extremely hard on defense. The effort's there. The turnovers will come if we continue to play with that effort.
Right. Yeah. You got the forced fumble on the road at Hawaii, and then none last week. But again. It's hard to pick apart that defense last week, right. But I guess that's one of them. But that's about the only blemish after their performance last week. Okay, how about the Nevada Wolfpack defense? And I know when you and I were talking on Monday shooting the TV show, the first thing you mentioned, the defensive ends, and in particular the Reed kid, number 90.
Yeah, Malik Reed, number 90. He's probably he's listed at 6'1", 250. So he's not overly big with length. And he looks like he has some long arms, but I don't know exactly how big he is, but this guy has tremendous get-off. He can get off the ball. He's a great pass rusher. At the end of the game there, I think it was a 7-point game, and he had the sack and fumble against Hawaii, and they were able to score and go up 14. He just causes havoc. They think they're fourth in the country in tackles for loss, their defense.
Eight and a half a game.
8.5 tackles for loss a game. I mean, that's unreal. And we're going to have to do a good job against those two guys. When we do throw it, you know, we got to make sure we get the right guys on them. We can't hold the ball at quarterback. We got to make quick decisions. And, you know, we just got to know where those guys are and realize that, you know, they're going to be there all night. The guy plays with great effort. And, you know, we got to do some things to try to neutralize him and do it. And running the ball at him, I think, can help us. But, you know, we still want to be balanced. We're going to put the ball in the air. But he is a guy that can cause some problems, which their whole defense. I mean, 8.5 tackles for loss a game is outstanding.
Yep, and the senior linebacker, Austin Paulus, their leading tackler. But again, the Reed kid, Ram fans at the game are watching the game on Saturday night. Defensive end wears number 90 is one to watch it.
I hope they don't see him that much.
No, that's Saturday. Right. Yeah, hope you're looking for him. Yeah. They mention him. But yeah. Final thought before we have one more break here about that defense. Explain the formation of their defense. It's three defensive linemen, three linebackers, and then they got two defensive backs and like three. It's almost, you called it a 3-3 stack.
Yeah, they're Hawaii ran a little bit of this defense, but Hawaii played a different coverage behind it. But you've got three defensive linemen, and then they, you know, a lot of people use 3-4 like we are, which is three defensive linemen, four linebackers. They have three defensive linemen, three linebackers, and that's 34, 7, and 50, Paulus, who's their leading tackler. And then they've got two overhang guys that are kind of like safeties that are, you know, and then they have three other DBs. So it's really a 3-3-5 is what it is. You've got three D linemen, three linebackers, and five safety bodies.
Okay.
Yep. Two corners and four safeties almost.
That's kind of what Rocky Long runs at San Diego State, right?
This is the Castillo, the coordinator. He was at West Virginia for a long time with Rich Rodriguez, and he was with him in Arizona. And this is what he has done for a long time. Mm-hmm. We played him when I was at Georgia and when he was at West Virginia in the 2005 Sugar Bowl. And it's one of those defenses that's a headache to get ready for. And Coach Long, Rocky, you know, incorporated this defense to start with. Now, he's expanded. He does a lot more blitzes and pressures off of this defense, but he bases out of a 3-3 stack as well.
Right, and it's served Rocky so well for so many years at New Mexico and, of course, now at San Diego State. All right, final timeout. We'll be back. Some keys to the game and look forward to the Saturday night contest. Wolfpack and Rams under the lights in Fort Collins. Stay with us. Galveston State Sports Network. All right, just about running out of time tonight. We bring you back to CB and Potts here in Fort Collins. Thanks for joining us this evening. The Coors Light Mike Bobo Coaches Show as we talk some Rams football with the old ball coach at CSU, Brian Rothback, with you. The Rams 4-2 on the season, 2-0 in conference play, trying to make it 3-0 in conference against the Wolfpack of Nevada. Again, 8:21 is the kickoff on Saturday night. All right, final thoughts presented by Coors Light, where 21 means 21. Mike, we got a minute left. Give us some keys to the game. What does your team have to do to continue the good play?
Well, we got to continue to prepare. You know, we've had our three practices in right now. We'll have a walkthrough tomorrow and a practice on Friday. You know, most of the work's in, but there's a lot of time between now and Saturday. You know, as frustrated as I was after today's practice, it's like I told the coaches tonight, we got Thursday, Friday, and really, you know, all day Saturday to get ready and make sure, you know, we understand what the plan is going in. Then we got to go out and play. We got to execute.
Yeah, and it's been so long since the home game. I mean, it's almost like you're starting over again, talking to a Ram fan a moment ago, because it almost feels like the first game at home again.
Yeah,
here this year.
5 weeks is too long, and especially when we've got this brand new stadium, yeah, on campus.
I know, that's the useless thing. Right?
I mean, we got to get out, we got to rock this stadium out at 8:15 or 8:21.
8:21.
Yeah. However long it takes, you know, we need to keep that thing full.
All right, Mike. Congratulations on the start. Go get another W.
Thank you.
Okay, that's head coach Mike Bobo here on the show. Thanks for joining us here tonight from CBN Potts here on the Colorado State Sports Network from Learfield.